Not all psychological danger comes from extreme behaviors. Sometimes, it comes from what seems too perfect, from the ever-ready smile, from the impeccable posture, from the flawless image. We live in an era of appearances where being is less important than seeming. And this, for Jung, was a serious problem, because when someone identifies too much with their own persona, the social mask we use to adapt to the world, they risk completely disconnecting from their essence. And those who live for the mask not only lose themselves, but also begin to distort everyone around them. In the book The Ego and the Unconscious, Jung states that the persona is what someone is not, but what he and others think he is. In other words, an artificial construction shaped by social, familial, and professional expectations. In itself, the persona is not a mistake. We all use it. It allows us to fulfill social roles, to be a doctor, teacher, brother, friend. The problem begins when someone believes they are only that, when the mask sticks to the face, and everything that is spontaneous, vulnerable, and authentic is locked in the basement of the psyche. The bearer of the persona is the master of functional superficiality. They say what others want to hear. They behave in the right way. They avoid conflicts at all costs. But behind the curtain of control, there is a soul in ruins. Because the more they sustain the image, the more they suffocate the self. And this repression, sooner or later, exacts its price. For those who live with this type of person, the impact is profound. You feel that something is wrong, but you can't say what. There is a lack of spontaneity, of truth, of depth in the interactions. Everything seems rehearsed. And worse, the bearer of the persona projects this demand for perfection onto you as well. They expect you to perform, to fit in, to collaborate with the theater. If you express something outside the script, an intense emotion, a doubt, a pain, they retreat, become uncomfortable, shut down. Because everything that reminds them of what is repressed within becomes unbearable. Jung warned that this type of identification with the persona is one of the greatest threats to the process of individuation, the path of self-knowledge and integration of the unconscious. For him, the real danger begins when the individual is hypnotized by the role they play, believing they are what others see. And that is exactly where the risk lies. When someone lives only to be accepted, recognized, praised, they become a hostage to their own facade. And everything that is genuine dies suffocated behind the veneer. Living with someone like this can lead you to doubt your own spontaneity. You start to police yourself, to measure your words, to hide parts of yourself that don't fit the ideal narrative. Gradually, you also begin to wear a mask and don't even notice. Coexisting with a bearer of the persona is not just artificial. It is contagious. But there is something even darker than that, because when someone represses what they feel, think, and desire for too long, it doesn't disappear. It accumulates. It ferments in the unconscious until it transforms into shadow. And then we enter an even more dangerous territory, that of denied emotions that return with explosive force. In the next section, we will dive into the figure of the owner of the repressed shadow, the one who refuses to see their own dark side until it explodes. There is a type of person who lives controlled, polished, restrained, always correct, always moderate, always polite. But behind this veneer of balance lies a force about to break free. Because everything they consider wrong, ugly, or unacceptable is simply pushed down into the basement of the soul. It is not overcome nor transformed. It is merely repressed. This is the essence of the owner of the repressed shadow, someone who tries to be light all the time until the darkness takes control. Carl Jung dedicated a good part of his work to understanding the shadow. In Ion, he states, The shadow is everything that the individual refuses to recognize in themselves, and yet insists on manifesting in some way. We are not talking about something external. The shadow is not the evil of the world. It is not the other. It is not the enemy. The shadow is internal. It is the hatred you do not admit to feeling. It is the envy you rationalize. It is the sexuality you repress. It is the ambition you disguise as humility. Everything you reject in yourself does not disappear. It transforms into shadow. And as Jung taught, what you do not make conscious directs your life, and you call it destiny. The owner of the repressed shadow does not seem dangerous at first glance. On the contrary, often they are someone admired, disciplined, kind, helpful. But there is something strange. They do not tolerate weakness in others. They react poorly to spontaneity. They are bothered by intense emotions. They always seem charged, but never explode, until they do. And when that happens, it is devastating. This person lives in constant emotional vigilance. They do not allow themselves to feel, and for that reason, they condemn those who do. They do not allow themselves to err, and for that reason, they attack those who do. They become moralistic, demanding, controlling. But all of this is just an attempt to keep the unconscious under control. Jung was clear: the stronger the persona, the more repressed the shadow. And the more repressed the shadow, the more brutal its manifestation will be. You can identify this pattern in people who have disproportionate reactions, who explode over small things, who hold grudges for years, who sabotage relationships in a passive-aggressive manner. They are the famous, difficult people, whom no one understands why they are so bitter, so resentful, so critical. The answer lies in the shadow, unintegrated, unrecognized, unaccepted. And here is the most important point. The shadow is not just made of bad things. Jung made it clear that it also contains your denied potential, your repressed creativity, your hidden strength. But when the shadow is ignored, all of this turns into poison. And this poison contaminates the relationship, the environment, and especially those who are closest. Living with the owner of the repressed shadow is like living next to an emotional minefield. You never know where you are stepping until you are hit. But this repression does not arise from nowhere. Often, it is fed by an illusion of superiority, by a rigid moral ideal that turns guilt into a tool of control. This is where we enter the figure of the next type, the moral controller. Someone who not only represses their own desires, but makes you feel guilty for living yours. In the next part, we will unmask this type that Jung saw as one of the greatest obstacles to psychic freedom, the guardian of virtue who deep down hides their own demons.